It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsman and Greg Pickle coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've got some quotes here from James Franklin, as we've done really the past several weeks, where we break down what he had to say following his latest media scrum. And he got into some good subjects that are pretty insightful to the current team, pretty insightful for helping to understand what he and his coaching staff are going through right now, the kinds of discussions they're having, specifically with young players. Got into defensive tackle rotation, some got into Jaquan Brisker a little bit. And we're going to start right when it comes to roster management, the red light, yellow light, green light process. We're all eager to go down that road. Jim Galante and I went down that road just a few weeks ago, but he mentioned, and we'll start with this, play a clip from him, just how he and his staff start to have that discussion and when they start to have that discussion.
No, I mean, we've had 10 minutes of live, period. It's way too early. We don't usually do that till, you know, as late as possible. It's changed, obviously, with the four games that we're going to play them. I did have a discussion with them last night. I meet with all the newcomers once a week. I either have dinner with them or breakfast once a week just to see how they're doing and check on them and talk about things like that. When the time comes, the red shirt process, including their parents where we can, because if we got a guy that I know will come back as a fifth-year senior and the master's degree is really important to him and his family, rather than burning his red shirt as a true freshman and maybe playing three games or I guess in the new rules, five games, I want to know that. You know, I want to know, you know, the family and the kid, their perspective on all those things. It's hard to predict 4 years down the road, but we just kind of start talking through all those processes, but we haven't, you know, even come close to having, we haven't had those discussions as a staff yet.
So not yet on the red light, yellow light, green light, and there are, not to continue borrowing colors, there are some shades of gray, you know, with the four game limit. If I'm going to mention gray, I felt like I needed to preface that with something. But
fair.
So a little bit of behind the scenes, I guess, into how or when he has this conversation. I guess when he's talking about a player who he knows is going to be a fifth year guy, how many guys coming in? Say a 25-man class, how many guys coming in do you get the idea that they're going to be up for, that they want to pursue their master's, they want to be there for at least 5 years anyway? Can't be very many, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I when you look at the class of 2019, number one, I understand what he's saying, but I'm a little bit leery to think that any player comes into a program and says, yes, I want to be here for 5 years. That's my goal. I mean, I think all of these guys, if they should have the drive, they need to have the drive to say, look, I want to be a guy that maybe can leave here in 3 years and go to the NFL and get my degree all at the same time. But I mean, you look at this class and some of the guys, you know, you think about Mike needing time to develop. You know, Hakeem Beamon's a guy that jumps off the page as a player who is going to have to put some weight on to play in the Big Ten. It's hard to envision him playing this fall. And because of that, you know, you're probably going to get him for an extra year as long as he doesn't blow up in the next 3 years, which of course, if he does, then he might leave sooner. So, you know, Smith Vilbert's a guy I think that's received a lot of praise since he's got the camp. He looks like a rock star. I mean, the guy just looks like he brought him right out of a defensive line model store. But you know, he has to figure out some of the finer parts of playing defensive line in the Big Ten. So, you know, maybe he's a guy that develops this year and red shirts. Daquan Hardy, I think, is certainly a guy in that category. Joseph Darkwa, you know, James Franklin talked about the fact that it's a learning process for him. So I think there's some guys in every class that for physical reasons, it's clear that they're not going to, you know, they might have to redshirt and not play right away. But, you know, a little bit later on, he talked about, and I'm not sure if we're getting to this quote or not, but he talked about sort of how the redshirt rule has really sort of muddied the waters with this whole thing because,
right,
you know, even with, you can sit here today, I think, and say Devin Ford, Noah Cain should be greenlighted. Brandon Smith, Lance Dixon should be greenlighted. Keaton Ellis should be greenlighted. I mean, those guys make sense as ones that could play in all 13 games. But What if something happens early on where there's an injury and they have to play another guy that maybe wasn't in that position, but now he is? And can you squeeze out those four games and still get by and save a guy's red shirt? It's a lot of questions that staffs didn't have to face before. I think they feel like they handled this pretty well last year. I think that, of course, you can only handle it as well as the circumstances you are. You know, you can only handle it as well as you handle the circumstances you're presented with. So for some guys, I think, you know, Justin Shore is a good example. He was going to play more than four games, but he got hurt and that slowed his development, you know. So it's always going to be a bit of hit or miss, but I think they have a good plan for this.
I think this piece of information and kind of the insights and the types of conversations that he's going to have with young guys and obviously mentioning bringing his their families into it is interesting, along with how he talked about the four-game rule and really shifting their mindset to only using two of those games and saving two of them for later. Anybody who might be in that category of we want to cap that at four. So that's part of it. And then, you know, I can't help but keep looking at the 2020 recruiting class and think a heavy percentage, a high percentage of the 2020 class, much higher than 18 and 19. I don't know if they're 5-year guys, but they're more developmental type players who might be, who have a better chance of sticking around for more than 4 years. So it just makes all these, you know, as you're trying to imagine the conversations that are being had behind the scenes, these are all part of it when it comes to roster timing. And he mentioned that, and actually this is a good way to set up the next clip, was roster timing at the running back position, where he doesn't have any gripes, James Franklin said, about who's there and the number of bodies that they've got to keep happy. But, you know, with them being pretty tight in classes, here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if, in my opinion, Ben, that that's necessarily a challenge. What I would say the challenge is they're not as spread out as we would like. The reality is where we're going, we should be recruiting like that every year at every position. And guys come in and battle it out. And if guys are ready to play, they'll play. And if guys aren't ready to play, they won't. It's pretty much that simple. But in my opinion, the issue is that we probably need to be, we'd like it to be in a perfect world a little bit more spread out in terms of classes.
So I guess I'm not sure what the expectation is when you go out of your way to get a second running back in the 19 class. Devin Ford and Noah Kane. That's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, Ricky Slade is a true sophomore. Journey Brown's a redshirt sophomore. They're staggered out exactly the way that you want them. Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders before them both left eligibility on the table to move on to the NFL, which were wise decisions for both of them. So really what we're, you know, what James Franklin, I don't want to say he's complaining here, but, you know, he's just stating what's not ideal about the running back depth chart. And it's the fact that they got two really, really good players in the 2019 class. That's the heart of the, if you want to call it an issue, that's the heart of the timing problem, is that both Noah Kane and Devin Ford are ready right now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because you, as we talked about in the first segment, could see both of these guys on the field this fall. And I think the question Penn State will have to ask itself by the time those guys play two or three games is, should we save one of these guys for down the road? Because what if you get an injury and you're not expecting it and you're in a little bit of a tight spot? So do we save these guys or do we just let them all play? You know, and use them to our advantage, because we can do things with two running back sets. We can get them into the game based on where do we think we need Journey Brown to break off a big run, or Noah Kane to bust it up the middle for a couple yards, or Ricky Slade to, you know, catch balls out of the backfield, or Devin Ford to put his speed to the test. You know, all these guys do something a little bit different that complements each other. And because of that, I think you'll see an opportunity for all of them to play in certain situations. Now, you can't choreograph it and tell the defense, okay, Noah Kane's coming on, so this is what we're going to do, or, you know, you have to mix it up some, but I trust Ricky Ronnie to do that. He's receiving a lot of praise this offseason. You know, Bruce Feldman just named him as, you know, one of the 19th in a list of 40 coaches, assistant coaches to watch this offseason. And there's a lot of people, including James Franklin, who mentioned it on the Big Ten Network show, that think he's going to turn this ship around this fall.
Year two, you know, having that year of experience of actually calling the plays, that's something that Jane Franklin went in depth about earlier this month, and Ricky Ronnie is in year two. I still don't have an answer for what I think you know, my opinion is as far as how to best use these running backs. The concern when you've got four is how can any of them get into any kind of rhythm whatsoever? You have to manage that well. So either they're going to go really run heavy, they're going to get really unique in the way that they use these running backs, or there's going to be an odd man out.
Right.
I tend to think that there's going to be an odd man out, but if you were to ask me today who I think the odd man out would be, I have no idea.
Right.
You know, Devin Ford, and actually this is a good segue to him in a moment, but Devin Ford arrived the latest, but he's getting some praise too. So it's tough to say what this running back group is going to look like, but using three and keeping all three happy is a pretty tough feat sometimes. Using four and keeping four happy, almost I don't know
impossible.
What that looks like.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. I'll say the one thing is this could all, you know, go, you know, as not as planned if they can't, if they do decide to go run heavy or, you know, and they can't block it. That would be obviously something that could stymie the plan to use all these guys. So we'll have to wait and see.
And I think, you know, in my eyes, somebody's going to go into the year with that four game rule in mind. And that might just be Devin Ford. Maybe it's not Devin Ford, but the odds of, you know, all three running backs ahead of that person staying healthy are not all that great. So it's going to be a really delicate balance for Penn State, but a good delicate balance. Speaking of Devin Ford, James Franklin went into a little bit of detail as far as what they've seen from him. And I'll just give you a little spoiler alert. It's pretty good.
Devin's doing some really good things. We're excited about him. He flashes. He's explosive. He's mature. He's got a mature approach. Seems to be learning well. So far, so good. But he gives us a little juice. He tested really well this summer. And, you know, it's funny because that was probably the one thing of high school film we weren't sure about. He's unbelievably productive, but we weren't sure what his top-end speed was, and he can run. He proved that this summer in testing, and he's proved that on the field. So, you know, we're pleased with those guys.
The brief recap here on Devin Ford, and this will probably spill over to the next segment, I'm guessing, but is that he is mature. He had a productive high school career, very productive high school career, very versatile player. Then he comes in on the campus and he shows that he's fast and athletic and all the things that you want from a physical standpoint. And again, I mean, just to circle back, kind of hard to keep that off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, again, it's really going to be fascinating to watch. Safety almost has a similar vibe to it because Jonathan Sutherland, Jaquan Brisker, Lamont Wade, you can't play all three of them for significant snaps. And the running back situation might become the same way, where you can't play all four of these guys for significant snaps. So how do they separate themselves during a non-conference slate? Jaylon Sider and Tim Banks both have their handful at that position, but guess what? Like James Franklin mentioned earlier, they got a lot of talent to pick between.
A lot of talent to pick between. We'll continue talking about this. James Franklin also went in depth on Noah Cain. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and keep talking Penn State running backs right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.